The unfortunately named pop band Katrina and the Waves, which is what's been hitting the Gulf Coast all day yesterday and taking all the news coverage of the day. Reese Schonfeld is the guy who was there at the beginning of CNN. He was the first president of that network. He and Ted Turner put the thing on the air, and he helped run it for several years. Ever since then, he's kind of been the, I like to think of him as the news executive emeritus, who has been looking at the world of television news, both broadcast and cable, with kind of a, I don't want to call it a jaundiced eye, but let's call it a wise eye. And he says, wouldn't it be nice if the news networks paid as much attention to Iraq as they do to stories like Hurricane Katrina? Not that Katrina doesn't deserve it, but that maybe a war, which is involving all these people, certainly does on a larger scale. I've invited him to come back on the show and elucidate on that point just a little bit. Welcome back to the show, Reese.
Good to be back, Paul. This is a day that no one can complain about the, I guess, 24/7 coverage of the hurricane. It's, you know, it's there and you got to do it. But this is a day that also calls for a 24/7 channel about what's happening in Iraq, because nobody in the U.S. is watching television will hear anything about what's happening today, because we're just so wrapped in the hurricane. There's got to be, I believe this fundamentally and so strongly, that what's happening in Iraq long term is a hell of a lot more important than even these hurricanes. And our lack of attention and our lack of information just cripples us when we look at it and when we make our decisions and send our opinion on to the people who govern us.
And that's not to diminish the coverage of something like Katrina, but I guess, you know, when you think of stories like the Michael Jackson trial or the Jennifer Wilbanks runaway bride story or the Natalie Holloway story, those are really the stories that bother you getting so much airtime when Iraq is a huge story that is not.
Absolutely. I mean, those are the worst. I mean, that just shows the you know, the superficiality of most of the people who are working in the news business these days. But this isn't a superficial story. This is a major story. Nevertheless, there should be some way to get alternative information about other things. And I've been flipping back before between the three major all news networks, and I don't see anything except maybe a brief bit here and there on what the stock market was doing that breaks this one story of the day.
Yep.
Terrific story, but believe it or not, there are other things happening in the world.
Yeah, you know, of course, when you say alternative sources, people always say, well, the Internet is there.
There's no one who handles the Internet who has reporters in Iraq constantly. There aren't enough reporters in Iraq, even, I don't believe, to cover the story adequately for any of the three networks. Maybe the Times has enough people, and maybe the AP does, but I think we're starved for news about what's happening there, and also we don't put it all together in the same context. People don't see how the things are fitting, things happening simultaneously. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to know that this morning, that yesterday, the retiring chief of staff of the Air Force says that no matter what happens, no matter how fast we get our ground troops out, we're going to have to keep our planes there, because there's no way that any Iraqi army, no matter how well trained and how equipped it is, could survive against the insurgents without aid from our Air Force and our people. And then when he was asked, this is all in the Times today, and it was a press conference he gave. He's going to retire in a week. This was his farewell press conference. And he said, they said, well, where are these guys going to stay? Are they going to have to, these planes, are any of them going to have to be based in Iraq? And, you know, he says, well, some of them may have to be, not a lot, but some of them. And then you got to figure, okay, you're going to have to keep ground troops there anyway, and just to support, to defend the bases from which these guys are flying. And then you got to supply these guys, so you're going to have to keep troops there to supply the guys who are staying there to maintain and defend the airplanes. It's just not simple. And, you know, nobody talks about it, and that's a story. I bet you haven't heard that story on television, and I'll bet you won't.
No, I haven't. And since television is the primary source of news for most Americans, do you think this lack of information from Iraq, and we saw a lot at the beginning when the reporters were there, but now, as you say, there is a dearth of information from Iraq, do you think that affects the public perception of the war?
I believe it does fundamentally. I believe you know, and I think that you know, Cindy Sheehan, I've just seen her do a commercial which is so heartbreaking and so moving. I think it's one, you know, that her point of view has got to be heard, and she's every right to do it. And I sympathize with her in every way, and I think the president should meet with her. But I don't believe for a minute that we should get out of Iraq, just pick up our tail and run. The people compare our war with Vietnam. There's at least one fundamental difference. The Vietnamese were not coming over here to kill us if they won that war. I believe that these guys will do that. And the Zahrawis of the world will do that.
We're back with Reese Schonfeld, the man who helped start CNN with Ted Turner, and now says that we need another 24-hour news channel, one devoted to the war in Iraq. Is that what you'd like to see, one of these news networks or perhaps a news network go 24 hours with war news?
Well, it's got to be more than war news. It's got to give the why and the where. The thing that drove me to this was just over the weekend when I saw that President Bush had called a Muslim cleric named Abdul Aziz Hakim to plead with him to ask to give some moderation in this constitution, to give a little more to the Sunnis because we needed it. And that guy turned him down. So I looked it up to see who he was, and he's the leader of something called the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution, which I don't think is any friend of ours. And he spent the last 10, 12 years before we were in there in Iraq, because he Saddam Hussein had driven him, Saddam Hussein had driven him out of Iraq, and he was in Iran supporting the Ayatollahs, supporting their revolutionary cause, and he fought against Saddam Hussein in that war, the Iraq-Iran war. Is this what we reduced to? Are we going to have to surrender, pull our troops out, and tell the guys who are the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, okay, you can take over these 8-10 provinces now in Iraq, those provinces that have more than half of all the Iraq oil, so you'll double your oil reserves? It's those kind of questions which somehow, you know, don't the American television networks never make you aware of that kind of thing, and they're all important. If we're going to pull out, if we're going to get out, who are we going to get out to? Who's going to run this war after? Because if we go, and it's guys like Abdul Aziz Hakim, they're going to do just what Hamas is doing now in Gaza. They're going to say they drove the great Satan out of Iraq. They're going to be heroes, and they're going to hate us and attack us and every way that they can.
Yep, and if Iraq does, you know, we keep saying, well, we want it to be a democracy, so the people there can choose the kind of country they want to have. Well, if it turns into an extremist Islamic theocracy, particularly one that gives no rights to women, then we've essentially turned it over to the Taliban.
Absolutely. It's, you know, democracy has not established any foothold, I'll say any, in the Middle East, in the Muslim states. If we wanted democracy in Egypt, there'd be a fundamentalist government there. If the Algerian army didn't crack down in Algeria, there'd be an Islamic fundamentalist government in Algeria. That, unfortunately, too many Arabs, too many Muslims have come to believe that we are the great Satan. They don't want our values. We were lucky when we fought against the communists, because they wanted the same. We fought them on equal ground. The ground was who is going to give a better life to the people who live under which system. And it was clear that America and the West gave a better life in terms of material things and medicine and education than the Russians ever did, than the communists ever did. But these people, the people now, do not even want that. They don't aspire to that. They aspire to a better life in heaven than they do on earth. And I don't know of any way that we can just surrender meekly to them and turn that whole country and its oil reserves over to the Iranians, who just today, by the way, bragged of having discovered a new biotechnology that makes it much more effective for them to develop high-grade uranium.
It would be nice if the TV networks were paying more attention to this and giving more context. Their coverage seems to be aimed at, you know, something blew up in this part of town and this many people were hurt, and there isn't all that subtext that you're talking about. But if there were more time devoted to it, whether it were a 24-hour Iraq War news channel or just more attention paid to it on a regular basis on all of the newscasts, and we turned our attention to that the way we do other stories, as we've talked about, what do you think the impact of that, Reese, would be on the public perception of the war, which has turned against it in the last 6 months or so to a majority factor?
I would hope, we all hope this, that if the public knew the facts, they decide it wasn't an easy decision and that neither Mrs. Sheehan nor President Bush had the right way, and they might listen more to people like McCain and others who suggest that we've got to stay, we've got to carry the load, and But I don't want to sound like I'm for McCain. But I am for what he says, that it's a heavy load. We can't run away from it. We took it on our backs, rightly or wrongly, and we're stuck with it. And if we pull out, we will be seen as easy pickings. We'll be seen as cowards. The people, Muslims all over the West, and you know, even Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York, where they did rejoice after 9/11 bombings, every one of them will laugh because we've gotten another smack in the nose. So I think it's a very hard situation, and I just hope Americans we haven't become so soft a nation that we can't live with hard facts and hard choices.
Yeah, and I wish we were getting more of those hard facts so that we could make those hard choices, and television as the grand news center for America needs to be the place that presents that to us. Reese, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Reese Schonfeld, who wrote about his exploits starting up CNN in a book called Me and Ted, and runs his own website called meandted.com. Reese Schonfeld here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.